So, Hare Krishna, I hope that by the mercy of modern technology, we will all be able to share now a wonderful session on the art of prayer. A little while ago, it was when the old year turned into the new, I gave such a seminar, The Art of Prayer, and the organizers had all provided those who came to the retreat this reading mark. But the most important thing at the reading mark was this little thing, which I hope you will be able to see. It's a little key. And this key symbolizes prayer. Yes, prayer is the key to Krishna's heart. We all know when we have a key to a room, or if we have a key to a treasury box, then many riches come into our hand, to which we gain access by using the key. There's also a key to Krishna's heart, to his heart which is full of mercy and compassion for the conditioned soul. And that key is prayer. However, as one writer so nicely said, there is a prayer which must precede all other prayers. I will quote this. It's from C.S. Lewis. The prayer preceding all other prayers is, may it be the real I who speaks, and may it be the real thou that I speak to. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave a very nice and easy to work with a prayer instruction. He said, our prayers must be heart deep. They should not be only lip deep. Only heart deep prayers reach the heart of Krishna. Krishna may hear our lip-deep prayers, which we do because we know, oh, we went to a class where the importance of prayer was highlighted, and therefore we pray. Okay, lip-deep prayer. Nah, Krishna will know that, but he will only take to his own heart those prayers which are heart deep from your point of view. We will talk about a few methodologies from our tradition, that is how you can do the prayers, how you structure a prayer session. We will do this, but in the very beginning, I would really like to impress upon you that the prayers should not be lip deep. Let the real you pray, and therefore the prayers must be heart deep. Then a good connection, a sambandha, is established between you and also between Krishna, the heart of Krishna. There is an example in Padyavali of heart-deep prayers. In Padyavali, I think you all, or some of you will know, is a little book of prayers composed by, it's really prayers and glorifications composed of Rupa Goswami. And he has included one prayer from the Bhajan Mahatmya, where the question is answered, by what type of prayer Krishna, who is also known as Madhava, is satisfied. Bhakti Priya Madhava. Madhava is satisfied with the bhakti of his devotees. And out of affection, he cares for them. Then a lot of questions come. What maturity did the five-year-old Dhruva have? None, he was a child. What piety did the hunter Dharma have? No piety at all, he was a hunter. What knowledge did the elephant Gajendra have? He was not a scholar, he was an elephant. What beauty did the hunchback Kupcha have? No beauty. What wealth did the florist Sudama have? No wealth. He dealt with flowers. What was the good birth of Vidura or the strength of Ugrasena, who was imprisoned by Kamsa? But all these people were praying to Krishna. And Krishna, or Madhava, was satisfied with their bhakti. The Lord doesn't care, in other words, for maturity, for piety, for erudition, or knowledge, for beauty, for wealth, for birth, for strength. The Lord only is pleased and only cares if there is some bhakti in the heart of the person who prays. Some devotion, some understanding that, my Lord, let your will happen. I was once attending a lecture of one very, very high, wealthy businessman, and he said in the beginning he liked to do business with Krishna. He said, I'm throwing these £5 in your hundi, and I'm praying for you, to you, that you please multiply my £5 and make them into £5,000. Most of the time we address Krishna in this mode in our prayer. But only if someone does not want to be the order giver of Krishna, the order giver to Krishna, does Krishna really listen. Only when someone doesn't want to make business with Krishna, does Krishna really listen. Only when Krishna hears, oh, there is now the sound of devotion, the sound of bhakti in this person's prayer, is he really satisfied. You can't impress him with £5, nor can you impress him with £5 million. He wants to see the bhakti which is in your heart. Where do we find prayer in our tradition? As you know, there are 9 processes of devotional service. They start with hearing about Krishna and glorifying Krishna, and then remembering Krishna all the time. And then there is Vandanam, praying. Now praying can be best done by someone who has become aware of the pressure of being in this material world. A sense of realistic assessment of this world is necessary. Oh, it's not really a place for enjoyment. I cannot really control this world and enjoy it. My Lord, I cannot even make things happen which I would like to see. I have to confess that I'm not very mighty and strong. I therefore turn to you. Let your will be done. That is how a Sharanagati prayer, a surrendered prayer, is spoken. That's how a prayer in bhakti is spoken, which reaches immediately the heart. Someone who is a good example of praying like this is Akrura. You know, Akrura had been the servant of Kamsa, and he had seen a lot of atrocities of Kamsa. He knew that Kamsa really wanted to kill Krishna. Now, Akrura was a devotee, a great devotee of Krishna. But unlike all the other devotees, all the people in the Yadu dynasty, all the various devotees, he had not run away from Kamsa and hid in the mountains. Akrura became the minister of Kamsa, one of the mantris, the ministers, because he knew one day Krishna would come and he would punish Kamsa for his evil doing. And then Akrura would be there and he would see Krishna. So therefore, with the only desire to see Krishna, he stayed even in a compromised situation. He was the servant of a demon, someone who hated Krishna. Now his time came when Kamsa actually made an assassination plan. He wanted to make a huge sacrifice on the day of Shivaratri. He worshipped Shiva. And he wanted to also engage a public entertainment, that is a wrestling match. So he ordered the people of Vrindavan with Krishna Balaram to come and pay their taxes, but also be there for the festivities. So then it was then when he turned to Akrura and said, "Akrura, you are as dear to me as my heart. Akrura, you go to Vrindavan and bring that Krishna and his brother here." Now Akrura knew the demon wanted to kill Krishna, but he also knew that Krishna is the Lord of everyone and has unlimited strength and unlimited knowledge, and what to speak of his beauty. And he thought, "This is my chance. I'm going to Vrindavan under the order of Kamsa. I have the authorization of this demon. I will not be killed afterwards. I will just follow orders here. And I will invite Krishna to come. I will be with Krishna. I will pray. I will express my heart to Krishna." So these were the circumstances how Akrura came to get Krishna from Vrindavan, and how he started his beautiful prayers right at the border of Vrindavan when they left Vrindavan and went into Mathura. Then he prayed his prayers for which he is famous. It shows you that it is under pressure or under the realization that this world is not my original place, I need your help, that prayers are best vocalized. And that's why Akrura is known as the example of Vandana. Let us go now deeper into prayer. We will slowly move forward so that when I asked you to pray with me, you will be properly situated. There was once a spiritual master who was approached by one of his disciples. The disciple had heard that prayers can move the heart of God, and then a lot of mercy comes out of that moved heart. And he therefore, understanding that I am so weak on my own, but when Krishna is pleased with me and blesses me, everything is possible. So with this understanding, he came one day to his guru and said, "Guru Maharaj, is there anything more important than prayer?" And his guru Maharaj wanted to give him a good explanation. He said, "Go to that tree and cut a branch." The disciple came back with the branch and said, "It is done." So the guru asked, is the tree still living?" "Yes," said the disciple, "just like before, he is living." "Good," said the guru. "Then cut the roots." "Oh," said the disciple, "if I would cut the roots, I would kill the tree." "Aha," said the guru, and it made a very nice point. He says, prayers are the branches of the tree whose roots are called faith. Faith can exist without prayer, but prayer can never exist without faith. So we may pray, but there should be faith carrying us. Just like there may be a branch on the tree, but that branch can be only there if there are strong roots. The roots of our devotional life, my dear people, are prayer, are faith. That's how everything starts. Ado Shraddha, in the beginning, there must be faith. And this faith, we all know, can be gained when you make contact with devotees. And I believe that the organizers of this conference have made a very, very good decision. They have invited a host of very qualified devotees to speak before me. And the idea is to give all of you faith. So wherever you are, in your houses, in your lockdowns, in your sometimes not so easy situations, maybe you are even in a sick bed because of the present virus. But when you have faith, your strong faith, you have roots. And one manifestations of these roots are prayers. First, get your faith in order. Then your prayers will be more effective. Then they can be those heart deep prayers. These prayers where the real you, who is a part of Krishna, speaks. And therefore, may this retreat with the various contributions help you to increase your faith. Strong roots are the prerequisite of a strong and healthy tree. Strong faith is the absolute fundament for your success in devotional life in the same way. Often when I speak about prayers, doubt comes up. The doubt is, will really these prayers be heard? Will God hear them? I received, while I was preparing for this, a question from a very nice devotee, which went like this. Lot of devotees prayed for those devotees who were ill with virus. Most of them recovered, but some left their bodies. When someone got better, we hear prayers worked. But what happened to those prayers which didn't work? Yeah, sometimes we pray for something and the prayers go unanswered. I want to deal with this part now very honestly and very open-heartedly. Because many times devotees have this doubt. I prayed so much, but so little was given to me of all these prayers. Now I want to quote something which Sutapa put in his excellent, Sutapa Prabhu put in his excellent book, the book Bhagavata. He quoted Teresa of Avila, a saintly lady, who said, "More tears are shed in this world from prayers that I answered than from those that go unanswered." When we are immature, we ask for things which make us suffer. And when we get these things, they make us suffer more. This is a scenario which the immature person feels. How much have I seen the tears of men who have said, "I prayed so much to enter the Grihastha ashram, and now it's slavery from morning till evening. I wish my prayers were not answered." But of course, there are also other prayers, that is, prayers for the well-being of others. And what we might ask is happening when they are not being answered. I understand that the Lord will not answer always my immature prayers, but what if he does not answer the more mature prayers for the well-being of others? My dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear doubters and skeptics, you must acknowledge that rarely do you see the whole picture. There may be something which at the beginning is unpleasant, but then turns out to be a great blessing. There may be also something which is painful, like going to a dental procedure. There is an immediate pain there on the dental chair, which is often stronger than the pain which was initially felt. Or if you have a good anesthesia, you feel the pain right after the dental procedure. But on the long run, there is benefit. So sometimes an immediate punishment for our karmic activities may take care that in the long run, even later in life or even at a future life, this karma is extracted like a potentially dangerous tooth. And in this way, your chewing and eating is a very happy activity. Krishna can plan over these long, long durations of time. He can look into even your past lives and your future lives, and he can decide what is the best. There's a very, very nice prayer which I would like to recite to you partially. It's prayed by an unknown Confederate soldier. I know that at the end of his life, a god brother of mine, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, published this prayer. It said, I asked for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to follow. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy, but I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. It goes on and then it ends. I got nothing that I had asked for, but more than I could ever hope for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I, among all men, am most richly blessed. This is how many devotees have prayed. Oh my Lord, now I understand. Now I understand that first you needed to make me weak so that I can see the need for you. Now I understand that first you needed to make me poor so that I could learn to depend on you and not the world of men. My dear Lord, now I understood that I finally understood that you are my only Lord. There's such a prayer by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Sharanagati prayer collection. Now, my Lord, I finally understand. Yes. What should you do after a prayer has been said? Very important, and I took this from the book of our Sutapa Prabhu. Take action. Don't just think, let him do everything, I do nothing. No, you have done your prayer. Now Krishna has given you a body, he has given you intelligence. Now take action in the desired way. The next thing is be patient after you have said your prayer. You are in God's waiting room now, waiting for an appointment of the divine doctor. He is not your order supplier. He will come when he sees this is the right time now to come. And then, I like this last point very much. Look again. Krishna might have intervened already, but not in the way you have expected. Because your expectations were that of a child. Krishna understood, no, if I would have given him now the sweets, I would ruin his teeth for the rest of his life. Therefore, I give my mercy by giving some bitter medicine that purifies the blood and makes him mature. So, I would like to now Yes, we are in good time still. Enter with you the three traditional elements of prayers. Those who like to learn the lost art of prayer might now take out their pens and papers, and they might like to take notes along. First, there is a type of prayer which is called Sampratatmika prayer. It means a prayer with wholehearted surrender of body, mind and soul for awakening love for Radha and Krishna. You might address the Lord that, "My Lord, I have heard I need to make heart deep prayers, but I'm so much disturbed in my life. I don't know if I will come to this deeper place, but please help me to awaken my love for you." No? A traditional prayer which is quoted by Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion is, "My Lord, I know that young girls have natural affection for young boys, and that young boys have natural affection for young girls." I'm often with young people, and I am often with members of Pandava Senas, and when they come to a certain age, there's a natural glance from the right side of the room to the left side of the room, and from the left side of the room where the ladies sit, there is a natural spontaneous glance in the right direction where the boys sit. They don't have to be trained. No one has to educate them. It just comes at a certain stage of physical maturity, that attraction. It is natural. It is something very, very spontaneous. It's not something difficult. So the devotee prays, "I am praying at your lotus feet, my Lord, that my mind may become attracted unto you in the same spontaneous way." So this is a typical example of the first type of prayer, the prayer Sampratatmika, where you surrender pratana, sam means total, your body, mind and soul, and your atma, and give that to the Lord and say, "Please," you say this with submission and feeling, just like there is the natural attraction between boys and girls and vice versa. I want that my attraction becomes so natural, so spontaneous, so absolutely natürlich. That was a German word. It will be really important that I come to this place, that I don't just act because I'm told to act. So heart deep prayers, no? The second type of prayer is known as Dainya Bodhika, where one makes known one's own insignificance and worthlessness and adopts a humble state of mind. In a prayer, you should go before the Lord and make yourself, let us say, lower yourself. Prabhupada says, "The more fallen one is, the greater is one's claim to the favor of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One must only be very sincere and serious." No? And he gives the example of Jagai and Madai, who were fallen, but who then sincerely and honestly turned to Krishna. So, a good example of this is this prayer. My dear Lord Krishna, there is no sinful living entity who's more of a sinner than myself. Nor is there a greater offender than myself. I'm so greatly sinful and offensive that when I come to confess my sinful activities before you, I'm simply ashamed. My dear devotees, my dear friends, Krishna will never ever put you on the persona non grata list, the black list, where he says, these are people I never ever want to have anything to do with any longer. You may have such a black list about some people. Oh, he hurt me so much, I can never forgive him. But Krishna is so kind that when he sees only the slightest little indication, he will immediately says, yes, yes, come on, come on, come on. That is Krishna. That is Krishna. You can always, although you may have run for 20,000 years in the wrong direction, you can turn like this around and move towards bhakti, and Krishna will immediately accept you. That is Krishna. That is God. Yes, we are not like that. So, but he accepts the persons who are sincere and serious. He accepts those who can have a vision of reality, that is, who can be in a humble state of mind. It is not difficult in Kali Yuga to be humble. You just have to be real. That is all. So that's the second type of prayer, Dainya Bodhika Pratana, a prayer where one makes known to Krishna, describes his own fallen condition. I would like to say it is not a wonder that we as conditioned souls have committed sins in our past life. This should simply be admitted and confessed before the Lord. And as soon as this is done, the Lord excuses his sincere devotee. Be real with Krishna. Let the real you speak or pray. No? This is Dainya Bodhika. But don't go through an endless list, and then I cheated, and then this person for money, and then I stole from the hundi box this, and then I was bad to my son or my daughter. No, just be real. Shortly, briefly, but Krishna doesn't want to know all the details. He knows better. He knows already. And finally, my dear devotees, Lala Samayi, that's the third category, yearning for the personal service of Radha and Krishna. At this time, one will naturally express loving feelings in one's heart in the form of the Pratana to Sri, Sri Radha and Krishna. Normally, this type is done when one has already love for Krishna. One is on a perfected state. But one can also aspire for that. Here's a good prayer. Here's a prayer in this category. My dear Lord, O lotus-eyed one, When will that day come when on the banks of the Yamuna I shall become just like a madman and continue to chant your holy name while incessant tears flow from my eyes? When will the day come? This prayer is both for the perfected soul as well as the person who is aspiring to that. When will the day come when I will be dancing on the banks of the Yamuna just like a madman? Tears in my eyes. I'm remembering one pastime of Srila Prabhupada here, that when Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, one friend once saw him at the sandy beach of the Yamuna. I think it was also even on an island in the Yamuna. Prabhupada has placed his sannyas dandana in the sand, and with a pair of kattals he danced around chanting the holy name. And later he was asked, what were you doing? And he said, I was just enjoying the bliss of Krishna consciousness. No? These are three types of prayers. Some pratanatmika prayer, where you go to Krishna you surrender to Krishna. My Lord, finally I understand. And you yearn for him. I want to be close to you. Then Dainya Bondika, where you make known your insignificant and fallen position. My Lord, I'm not very qualified. I have done many mistakes in my life, but I've come now. And then Lala Samayi, the state where you asked for some perfection. Yes, asking is also possible. Prabhupada writes about this in the 5th canto, chapter 18, text 9. We can pray for something. He says, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given us a very fine purport in this regard. He has said, whenever one offers a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always requests some benedictions from him. Even pure devotees, Nishkama, pray for some benediction, as instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And here he says, he introduces us to one prayer. My dear devotees, take note of this prayer. It is the famous Ayinanda Tanuyakin Kadam Patitamam Vishame Bhavam Budo Kripayatava Pada Pankaja Stiti Dulisadrisham Vichintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda, I'm your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen in this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from the ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. Oh, that's a very good prayer. What would you say? What type of prayer is this? Is this Samprata Atmika? Is this Lala Samayi? Is this Dain Yabodika? In my understanding, it's a little of both. He is expressing himself, I'm your eternal servant, I belong to you, it is natural for me. But I'm also prayer where he asks for Krishna, he raises his hand, we belong to each other, please pick me up from the ocean of death and place me at your lotus feet, Samprata Atmika. And then Dainya Bodhika is in there, making known one's fallen condition. I have fallen somehow into this dreadful ocean of birth and death. And then also there's a tinge of Lala Samayi. Some of you have asked me before this presentation, Sundarananda has asked me, our Prabhu Sundarananda, that could you give me a structure of prayers, start with this, do this next, and go next there. The best structure is this traditional pattern which I have told you. But let us not forget, the best type of prayer is that which bursts out of the heart, which has the sound of bhakti, not the sound of scholarship. like we have heard, Madhava is satisfied by bhakti most than anything. And to get really bhakti going, it's good if you pray the prayers of those who have bhakti. Like you can pray the prayers of Queen Kunti, excellent prayers to be prayed. But I will give you today a set of prayers, there are only four, which are the sum and substance of Krishna consciousness. In fact, we will pray them all together. But since you asked for structures, you can definitely go by first Sampratanatmika, a prayer where you surrender, my Lord, I belong to you only. And I long that love for Krishna comes to me. Then you can go to Dainya Bodhika. I'm very much in need of your help because I'm highly unqualified. And then you can ask the Lord, please give me love of Godhead. Please, my Lord, take me to your lotus feet like Lord Chaitanya prays and engage me there in your service to fan you maybe or do other things which I wish to offer to you. Good, 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 good. I will now do, for let me just see here, yes, we are in perfect time, introduce to you a prayer from the Bhagavatam, which I would love to pray with you. Before I will ask the administration team to put these prayers on your screen, I would like to introduce the circumstances in which these prayers were prayed. Like in other prayers, you will find the three elements which are in there, the elements which you can also use to structure your own prayers. But as you will see, or as I will say, better is in the beginning you pray the prayers of accomplished souls. Okay, the prayer which we will deal with expresses the sum and substance of devotional life. I take this from Srila Prabhupada. It's the prayers from Vritra Sura. You will find them in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 11, verses 24 to 27. Let me repeat. Sixth canto, chapter 11, verses 24 to 27. Let us study first the circumstances. There was once a great devotee who had darshan of the Lord. His name was Chitraketu. He was a pious, very advanced ruler who was visited by Angira and later Narada Muni even, at a time when he was in really upset. First, he had wanted a child so that his kingdom would go on. Then he had gotten the child, but the child was poisoned by envious queens. The queens were envious that his queen who had given birth to the child was now his favorite queen. So this Chitaketu committed an offense to Lord Shiva and was cursed by Parvati to go into the body of the demon. However, just like Bharata Maharaj, who did not forget his Krishna consciousness even when he was in the form of a deer and later in the form of a strong but in a human body, bhakti can never be extinguished once it's there in the heart. So also, although Chitaketu was now in the body of a demon, was now cursed, so to say, his bhakti was still there. He confronted in a battle Indra, and he begged Indra, please take this useless body away from me. It's the body of a demon. But Indra saw who he is really, only outside a great demon. Inside, he's a greater devotee than me. And Vritasura became totally frustrated. Here was Indra, who should, in the battle, by the loss of the battle, take his life. But Indra was hesitant. He did not do his duty to free the world from the asuras. And then he said, what use is this rascal Indra for me? He sees everything materially. Instead, I will now make a request at the lotus feet of the Lord. And at that time, when he made this decision, I will now pray to the Lord. The Lord appeared in his meditation and said, very soon I will bring you to my side, but please first ask a boon from me. And then out of his heart, this beautiful prayer sprang, which I would like to pray with you. Can I now please request our talented technical administration team to put the four prayers of Vritasura before you? Let me.
Yes, they can see their verses.
One by one. Okay. So then, when I finish one prayer, you please put the next prayer. Right? It's only four. Okay, so we are ready now to pray. I will first pray this first prayer for you, where Vritasura asks, may my mind remember you, Krishna, Lord of my life. May my words sing your qualities. May my body massage your feet and fan you and give you betel nuts. I really request you to make me a servant of your servants so that all these requests can come true. So, okay. I will say it alone, and then please, now everyone, before your computers, please stop standing on your head or eating voraciously chips. Just stay before the computer and now pray with me. Okay? Are you ready? Hands go in the prayer mood. I will sing one time the melody alone and then we will do it together. Aham Hare Tava Padaika Mula Dasanu Daso Bhavitasmi Bhuya Manasmarita supate gunangste grinita vakamakado tikaya. Everyone, please. Aham harita vapadae kamula dasanudaso bhavitasmi buya. Manasmarita supate gunangste grinita vakarmakado tikaya. Translation. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant, so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. Attributes like kindness, compassion. May my mind think of this. May my words always glorify those attributes. And may my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. Prabhupada, he says it so nicely. This verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. One must first become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, Dasanudasa. Like Vritasura, he prays, my Lord, when will I again become a servant of the servants? Then I can engage my mind in thinking of you, my words and glorifying of you, and finally I can also engage my body in your service when I join you. Or here also I can serve with my body. So Krishna may test Vritta now by seeing how serious is he really. He says, I give you all results, including swaga and liberation. Please take everything. But Vritasura shakes his head and emphatically says, no, no, no. In separation from you, my life earth, my life airs are burning. I'm feeling as if I'm burning alive in separation from you. How then will the heavenly planets make me happy? What use is swaga when I meet you? Then I will attain the three blessings I asked for previously. What was that again? May my mind think of you. May my voice and words glorify you, and may my body serve you. No? Complete sampratanatmika, no? Complete engagement with body, mind, and voice. So the Lord will now test him, is testing him. I can give you swaga instead. I can give you money. I can give you fame. I can make you number one in the world. But he says, no, when a person is burning, will these external things help him? It is said that Yudhishthira felt so much separation that he from Krishna, that he felt the royal garlands and garments to be really of absolutely no pleasure for him. So here comes the second verse. I again want to request our administration team, if it's not already on the screen, to put the second verse on. 27. It is there. It is just now coming. So as it comes on, I will read to you the translation of the second verse, which we will pray. It says, O my Lord, O source of all opportunities. I know you can give me everything, but I do not desire to enjoy even in Dhruvaloka, the heavenly planets, or the planet where Lord Brahma resides. No, 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 no. Nor do I want to be the supreme ruler of all the earthly planets or the lower planetary systems. I do not desire to be master of the powers of mystic yoga. Nor do I want liberation if I have to give up your lotus feet. So, next verse, verse 25 is there. Again, I will chant, but I think you now know the melody. We can immediately sing it all together. Okay, stop everything else. Bring your heart to what you're doing now. Fold your hands. Nanaka prishtam nacha parameshcham na savabhomam narasadipatyam na yoga siddhir apuna bhavangva samanya sattva virahaya kangshe. I feel we should do it again. Please. Nanaka prishtam nacha parameshtyam na savabhomam narasadipatyam na yoga siddhir apuna bhavangva samanya sattva virahaya kangshe. So here in this prayer he says, I do not wish all these tempting things like heavenly planets, mystic yoga, or even liberation from this world if I would have to give up the lotus feet. Now, one thought passes through Vritta's mind. Although I strongly long for you, my Lord, attaining you is not within my power. It depends solely on you if I will be able to come to you. And then he gives three examples of how bhakti is given. One is the mother bird who feeds the baby bird in the same way you have to feed me. One, the cow who takes care of the calf and nourishes it with her own milk, and one of the husband who returns from a long, long time of painful absence to home and gives the wife all the opportunity to cook for him and be in his association, and so on. So this prayer is in text 26, and I again request our technical team to put it up on the screen. Yes? Ajata paksha iva mataram kaga stanyam yata vatsatara kshudata priyam priyeva vyushitam vishanna manoravindaksha didikshate tvam. Should we do it again? I think so. This time I will give you the translation. Keep the text, please, my dear technical crew. He says, O lotus-eyed Lord, as baby birds that have not yet developed their wings always look for their mother to return and feed them, as small calves tied with the ropes await anxiously the time of milking, when they will be allowed to drink the milk from the udder of their mother. Or as a morose wife whose husband is away from home always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects, I always yearn for the opportunity to render service, direct service, unto you. Again, let us together chant this prayer. Please take this, your hands again. Please stop and be there with your heart. Bring your mind to your heart and say this. Ajata paksha iva mataram kaga stanyam yata vatsarata shudatam priyam priya yushitam vishanna mano ravindaksha didrikshate tvam. Little baby birds, they sit there in the nest, they are very hungry, and when they hear the leaves rustling, they think, oh, mother is coming. It could be an owl who devours them. Baby birds need to be protected. So in the same way, Vritra is expressing his heart, I need you, my Lord, like a baby bird who cannot independently get his food. Then he's not satisfied. After all, the baby birds get bugs and they do absolutely nothing. They just sit and make noise in the nest. He thinks a better example must serve what I want to express. And he gives the example of a calf. Oh, calves in Vrindavan, you can see they're bound to the pole, and then the milk, then the mother is milked. You know, when the cow sees her little calf, somehow she becomes more willing to let go of her milk, and it can be easily milked. But ere the milk comes into the bucket, the calf goes crazy. I want this milk. And it stretches its head. So some desire, more desire, some moving forward comes. And then when the farmer has taken sufficient milk and knows there is also not too much milk left for the calf to get stomach problem, he binds the calf loose and the calf runs to the mother. And it's very affectionate how the mother greets the calf, licks the calves, and the calf goes and drinks the nectar. No longer bugs. This is nectar, and it is served from the body of the cow. So the devotee wants the direct mercy of Krishna, which comes from Krishna directly, and he runs forward, makes an effort to get it. Then the last example is that of a morose wife who waits for a husband who is far away to come back home, and then she will satisfy him with all her senses, and in this way she will also become very happy. This points to a very high state of perfection, you know, the Sringara Ras, in which the but it serves also as an example for devotees in this world who want to do active service and please Krishna, just like this unfortunate lady whose husband has returned to the house. Our last example, this could be an example for praying for perfection, which is Lala Samayi. And now the last verse, my dear devotees, which we will pray, expresses humility. Vritta has now asked for direct service to Krishna with body, mind, and voice. He has neglected all external pleasures. No, I don't want the sense enjoyment which even heaven can give me. And he has given examples how he is absolutely dependent on the Lord to make these prayer become true. The example of the dependent little bird, the example of the dependent calf, and the example of the waiting wife, and so on. But now he feels very humble. He thinks, how can such a low rascal as myself make such impossible prayers? No? You find this also in the prayers of Ajamil. Where am I? Where are these high prayers? I should now become more realistic. Let me remain here in this world, but let me make friendship with the devotees of the Lord, not persons who are simply attached and materially illusioned, but to the bodies, their children, houses, and wives. And he then prays in this very humble mood, Dainya Bodhika, this amazing prayer. It's in text 27, and I request our team. Oh, it is already on. Good. So this is the last of these four very ideal prayers from the Bhagavatam, which will get you really into bhakti. Please, let us again pray this. Mamottama shloka janeshu sakyam. Please, everyone. Mamottama shloka janeshu sakyam. Samsara chakre brahmata svakarma bihi. Tvan maya yatmat majadadageshu asakta chitasya nanatabuya. Oh my Lord, my Master, I'm wandering throughout this material world. Yes, I'm wandering throughout this material world as a result of my previous karma, my fruitive activities. Therefore, I simply seek friendship in the association of your pious and enlightened devotees. My attachment to my body, wife, children, and home is continuing by the spell of your external energy. But really, I wish to be attached to them no longer. Let my mind, my consciousness, and everything I have be attached only to you. So until now, he says, I did not have association with such devotees, thus I have experienced insurmountable sufferings and sorrow, but your devotees are there, and now I wish to be with them. And then in due course of time I hear about Krishna more, I hear how to pray more, and then all my attachments will be replaced by strong attachments to you. What a wonderful prayer, what a wonderful, heartful expression. Please, again, let us end the session with this prayer. Mamottama shloka janeshu sakyam. Yeah, everyone, all together, please. Mamottama shloka janeshu satvam sangsara chakre brahmata svakarma bhi. Tvan maya yatmat majadarageshu asakta chitasya nanatabuya. Yes, I'm wandering, but I want your mercy. Give me friendship with your devotees. And then my attachment will go slowly and be replaced with attachment to you. So then let my mind, my consciousness, and everything I have been attached to only be for you. This is a beautiful prayer. Please make yourself familiar with this prayer. I always liked it. I always prayed it. But then His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj was so kind to send me something around this prayer. He had an appointment with a wealthy, pious Gujarati businessman, one Mr. Mehta, who lived in a really huge mansion in Mumbai in Haji Ali. I don't know, this must be a part of Mumbai. And in the course of the conversation, this Mr. Mehta, who was following in the Vallabha Sampradaya, told Giriraj Maharaj that he considered Vritasura's prayers in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Not he, the Sampradaya considered these prayers in the sixth canto, which we have just chanted, to be the essence of their philosophy. And as Giriraj Maharaj listened to these prayers, he could understand that, yes, also Sri Chaitanya's mood was in there, like when Vritta prays, please take me out of this world and make me your servant who can engage body, mind, and voice in your service. It's very similar to this fifth prayer which we prayed before, fifth prayer of the Shikshastakam, Ayinanda Tanuya. No? And he went to Srila Prabhupada as soon as he returned to Juhu and told him what Mr. Mehta had told him, that these prayers are the essence of the philosophy of Vallabhacharya, who preached mostly in Gujarat. Prabhupada simply motioned him to take out of the bookshelf the sixth canto and asked him he should read the translations and also the purports. And then he said, no, recite the Sanskrit, read the translation, and then the purport. And so when Giriraj Maharaj had finished the first prayer of these four, Aham Hari Tava Padaika Mula, you know, text 24, he went into the purport and he was shocked. For Prabhupada seemed to also say to him, yes, it's true. This is essential prayer. He says, because Prabhupada opens his purport with this sentence, I'm quoting it for the third time now, this verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life, of bhakti. No? One must first become a servant of the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Beautiful purports which Prabhupada has written. Please, I request you, as you are entering, as you're doing this prayer session with us here, with the Bhakti School, I request you, make yourself familiar with the prayers and pray them, and you will see first-class bhakti arising in your heart, first-class bhakti, and then bhakti will teach you everything. Once you have devotion in your heart, wow, you know how to pray, because that is the quality of Dhruva. He had devotion. That's the quality of Dharma the hunter. He had devotion. Yes, although he was a hunter. That's the quality of Kupcha. She had devotion. That's the quality of Vidura and Gajendra and all these people like Akrura, they had devotion. even their circumstances were not yet ideal, they had devotion, and Krishna was pleased by that. The bhakti, and this will come in your heart as you do this. So please do read this. Please be active participants. My dear devotees, we are almost at the end of this session. I request you to already put your questions to the administration team, and they will then inform me. Actually, Gokrishna looks, who's assisting me here, he says there are already questions for us, but let me just end this prayer session, let me say this lecture or this seminar on prayer, so that you have a good summary. So, my dear devotees, the most important point of this was heart deep prayers. If you can't do heart deep prayers because you're distracted or overwhelmed by some misery, pray for this. You can express to Krishna this first prayer in the Sampratanatmika category, that it's so natural for young boys and young girls to be mutually attracted to each other. Please give me this attraction also. No? This is the condition, this is the fundament on which your prayers should stand. And if you don't have them, pray that you get them. Then you can make yourself, it is said, mercy and blessings always flow from up to down. See, just like here, if I want to have water, I have to put the water supply, in this case my English thermos, in a higher position than my glass. So if you in a prayer, you naturally go down. His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj once told me, when the devotee pays his obeisances, his heart rises over his head. No? The head goes down, the heart goes up. This is the idea of obeisances, this is the idea of prayer. Put your mind into your heart. Let the mind, which is often the king, the disturbed mind, the foolish mind, the anxious mind, the mind who feels fear, let that go in the lift and press the bottom, and then go down in the heart and pray from that place. That is the best position. Dainya Bodhika, and then express your desire to the Lord. That will be very good if you do like this. So, my dear devotees, believe it or not, I'm on time. I'm over here, and I would now appreciate your questions. I do not know if some need a small pause, maybe to take care of themselves. This is maybe you want to wait for the first question and then do what you need to do and then come back. We will be here together up till 5 p.m. Good. Ian, yes, Ian is there. Yes, Ian, please tell me the first question.
Yes, so we shall go right to the first question. So the first question is by Manju Mataji. And she asks, do our prayers for other people interfere with the original plan of the Lord?
Wonderful question. It is like this, that even the Lord may have a certain plan for someone. When the Lord sees his devotees praying for another person, He may change his plan. You know, when Srila Prabhupada was in his last days in Vrindavan, we, as his disciples, begged him, can you give us a prayer that we can pray that Krishna keeps you longer in this world? Prabhupada gave us a prayer which expresses my point. He said, we should pray like this. My dear Lord, our master has not yet finished his work in this world. So please, and now be attentive, please, if you so desire, keep Srila Prabhupada with us in the world. See, in this prayer, it is assumed that Krishna might have already his plan, but devotees can pray for someone who is in a difficult situation, but they always and under all circumstances should add, my Lord, I don't want to push you. If you so desire, save this person. And such prayers are very good. They have been given to us by Prabhupada and so on, because it does not really interfere with the plan of the Lord. You always say, if you so desire, you can do what you wish to do. Of course you will do what you wish to do, but if you so desire, please, and then you utter your prayer on behalf of that person. Because Krishna does change his plans also when he hears devotees. But he doesn't do this always. He does it in certain situations. Thank you. What is the next question, please? How do we know that Krishna has accepted and heard our prayers? The answer to this question is given in the first song of the Sharanagati prayers. These prayers, my dear devotees, have saved my life many, many times. And with it, I mean my spiritual life. They are prayers by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and they are just beautiful. As you pray them, you will so much enter into the essence of what is Krishna consciousness. It's just amazing. So there, in the first prayer, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the Lord only hears those prayers of people who practice the path of Sharanagati, that is the path of surrender, accepting what is favorable for Krishna, rejecting what is not favorable, feeling yourself as being someone who's protected and feeling that Krishna is like your parents, your guardian, and accepting Krishna's mercy, and finally practicing deep humility. So these people who are more close to Krishna listens really to the prayers. I should have said listens. He hears the prayers of everyone, but he listens or takes to heart those prayers of the devotees who are a little bit close. How do you know that your prayers are heard by Krishna? How do you know in your heart? My dear devotees, this is a very deep question. When you are sure that Krishna has heard you, there is a bond of love which you feel. You may even, you may say your prayer, and all of a sudden in your heart comes a certain certitude, security. And even, my dear devotees, if your circumstances may not change immediately, you feel inside the faith and the strength to deal with the situation at hand. This is how you know that Krishna has heard your prayer. Prabhupada once spoke about this. The Lord will listen and he will answer, but he will not listen to a nonsense. But if you, therefore, I always repeat it to you, prayers must be from the heart. They must be hearty. And then the Lord, in whatever situations you are, therefore, we heard about so many devotees and being hunters, being Kubja, we don't even want to say what she was in relation. She served Kamsa, but Kamsa had never actually violated her chastity, she was protected with her hunchback and so on. So yes, all devotees can turn around at any state of their life and the Lord will accept them. And then you feel it in the heart. The Lord is there in the heart. It's just like when you, let us say, we want to have the attention of Sutapa. I hope he doesn't listen to this. then he would feel a little bit embarrassed. And then when you go to Sutapa, it's, by the way, very easy to get his kindness. He is very kind. Then we will say, you will say something, and when he accepts you, you will feel it immediately. It's there in the heart, you know. Okay, yes, good. Okay, the relationship is okay. So you have to think about this answer. It's not an easy answer. You will need to pervade it with your thought a little bit. I thank you very much. So, Ian, what is the next question, please?
Hi, Krishna. Thank you so much, Maharaj. The next question is coming from Nitya Priya Mataji. And she asks, how do we pray for forgiveness for offenses unknowingly or unknowingly committed?
Yeah. No, I'm noting it down so that I'm very enthusiastic now and I could get carried away with my enthusiasm. How do we pray for forgiveness for offenses that are either knowingly or unknowingly done? Now, this is an important question, and I really hope that I will not answer it in a way that all of you will faint before your laptops, but in a way which is easy to understand. So often in our society, devotees come to another devotee and say, Prabhu, please forgive my offenses. Especially in London, I have seen so many come. Then I say, what offenses did you do? And from the response which comes, I notice that the devotee just said it because it's a chic thing to say. It is what we do in our society. But we say like this because we know offenses are the big blocking obstacle. And we just say it lip with our lips. But it does not come from, we have not even thought about it. It's not deeper than just a lip thing, just a thing which we do like saying a good day to someone. And you don't even wish him a good day, you just say it. So if you wish to really reach the person whose forgiveness you asked, you should mean it. And what it that you should really ask for forgiveness to known offenses and even unknown offenses. And the way you show the other person that you mean it, that it's a heart deep request, so that the other person will actually forgive you and not think you're just saying something, then you should serve that person. Do something for that person. Maybe bring a gift. I know the gift in London, best gift in London, in my opinion, is these Maha Burfis or Maha Sweets from Radha Gokulananda. Bring a gift to the person. Give substance to your words with Burfi or any other type of service you wish to render to the person. And then it is a real request. It is not just a word or lip deep request. And the real requests will always be fulfilled. You will always get what you request for. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Ian, what is our next question?
Hare Krishna. So our next question is from Amar Prabhu, and he asks, Hare Krishna Maharaj, Shastra declares that intelligence in an entity is shown through the presence of the soul. How come the COVID virus has much more intelligence that it can defy the highly evolved immune system by playing tricks on us? The virus has no life, so how is this possible?
Thank you very much, Amar, and I request Ian. I understood the question, and I'm preparing my answer, but I would like that all of us listen again very carefully to the question of Amar. So, Ian, please read it again slowly with good pronunciation so that we can all, even we dull-brained people, that's not how you say it, even those who are a little slow can understand the question.
All right, okay, Maharaj. So he says, Hare Krishna, Shastra declares that intelligence in an entity is shown by the presence of the soul. But how come the COVID virus has much more intelligence as it can defy even a highly evolved immune system such as our own? This virus has no life, so how is this possible?
Mm-hmm. Yes. First of all, I would like to ask Beck, is it really sure that the virus is not a malicious living entity? I'm asking the question. In my mind, it is a living. I'm looking here at Gokrishna. Maybe you want to Google. Google doesn't really answer these questions. Does a virus have a soul? But my dear Amar and everyone out there, please understand something about viruses, something about infections, which might save lives. We all carry in our bodies viruses and bacteria. However, and we even carry cancerous cells. But these bacteria and viruses and cancerous cells cannot go into cannot really cause a problem when the, here comes a difficult word, milieu, it's a French word, it is like the atmosphere in the body is all right, when it's a healthy atmosphere, when there's a healthy immune system, good circulation, and all these things, then it cannot do anything. All of you carry deathly bacteria inside. But because the milieu, the atmosphere in the body, is able to deal with it, it's not a problem. At the moment, people's health is fragile because on a microscopic level, that is what shows before your eyes when you go with a microscope into the body, various things are out of balance. The milieu, in one word, the milieu, I hope that's an English word. You use that word, milieu, is on a macroscopic level. Macroscopy, that is when you look into the surrounding atmosphere. Also, things are out of balance. If you wish to deal most effectively with your health and the health of the planet, you have to restore the microscopic milieu and the macroscopic milieu. Then our planet will and our organisms will deal with intruders in a normal way. Of course, my dear devotees, there is also another consideration to be looked at here. Everyone's time to die is set. You can see, some old people have gotten the virus and they did not die. Other old people have gotten the virus and they died. Some young people, of whom it was assumed no young person would die when they got infected, have died from the infections. Others have not died. If you look at Bhakti Charu Maharaj's what he says about the virus, you will see throughout human histories there have been many, many more powerful epidemics and pandemics than this one. But we are of course very worried, and people are worried, because there is not yet approved vaccination or antidote against it. So therefore, yes, there is a lot of anxiety. But even with the best vaccination, the best doctor, the best medical equipment, if it is the time to die, you will die. Either from this source or from traffic, you know, which runs over you and so on. I'm here not saying that we should not care about not being infected, because anyways, it's sure when we die. No, it is our duty to care, to do the right health measures. It's our duty to help those those people who get infected. That is what human intelligence dictates us. It's our responsibility to do so. You would not say, no one would say, well, anyways, it's sure when I die, let me jump into an abyss. No, no one would do this if he is in his right mind. But let us not forget the various layers of reality which work here. And as far as the layer of your responsibility, keep healthy and take care that the milieu or the atmosphere is as good as possible in the, I mean, is reasonably good in your body, or and outside, yes, not, we don't have so much say on the industry, we individuals, but we can have a responsible consumer attitude, that is, take things that are responsibly harvested and produced, so that they don't create an ecological catastrophe. That is as good as I can answer the question. I'm not sure about the virus having a soul or not. Someone more learned, maybe in your congregation, maybe our Sutapa Prabhu or others can answer this question very authoritatively. In my mind, as far as I assume, but this is only up to this point. I'm not 100% sure, so I can't talk about it. Thank you. What is our next question?
Thank you so much, Maharaj. The next question is coming from Gerta and Himanshu. The question is, Hi Krishna Maharaj, in ISKCON we hear a lot about praying to Krishna and different avatars of Krishna and his expansions, as well as Srila Prabhupada. Is it a usual practice to also pray to elevated personalities like Arjuna, Bhishma, Timati Radharani, Lord Maharaj, etc.? Are they likely to hear our prayers, and are there ways of praying to them that are recommended in the scriptures?
Thank you very much. It is really a joy to hear your questions. They are really educated questions. I'm very inspired by this session. I would like to answer it. The question is, do we only pray to God and his avatars, or also to great personalities, and do they hear this, these prayers? Yes, there is a work called Manak Shiksha that means instructions to the mind, written by Raghunath Goswami, and he says, as he deals with various obstacles, that let me go to the great devotees of the Lord, who are commanders of the army of the Lord, and pray to them so that they can free me from these highway robbers on the path of bhakti, who want to steal the jewel of love from me. These highway robbers are classically named as six: karma, lust, krodha, anger, greed, illusion, craziness, and enviousness. I might have forgotten one, but the six enemies around the soul. Yes, we pray to devotees. Also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur introduces a prayer to Haridas Thakur to be prayed if one wants the mercy of Namacharya, Haridas Thakur, to chant. And yes, these great devotees are definitely present still. I know one little funny story which I heard when I visited New Vrindavan in America. There was a bus coming with tourists who went to Prabhupada's palace. That's on the tourist route, you know. And one lady, ordinary housewife, heard when she was in the room where Srila Prabhupada's Vyasasana is and where his slippers were, "Take my slippers." She was, she did not know what to do. She came to this shrine, she was standing before the figure of this saint, and there were these shoes. She looked on, and then she heard the command, take these shoes, take my shoes, my shoes, my shoes. She looked around. She was not a kleptomaniac person, nor did she steal. That was not in her habit. She was an honest person, but still she stayed back until everyone was out of the room and then took the shoes of Prabhupada in her bag. This was in a time when there were great difficulties on that project. So she kept these shoes for a few years, and then, listen to this, I have heard this, first let me finish my story. Then she heard in New Orleans, wherever she lived, a clear command, bring back my shoes, now. And after letting that sink for a day, she decided to take the long journey from New Orleans or wherever she stayed, her hometown, and she drove all the way to New Vrindavan and placed the shoes on the cushion before Srila Prabhupada's Vyasasan. She later told the story because she needed to tell with someone, talk with someone about this and relieve her mind. And she told this to a devotee who then made it known to our Maharaj, His Holiness Badri Narayan Maharaj. I had to concentrate. He told this. So yes, Prabhupada is alive. He tells people even such things as doing things with shoes. He hears, in other words, when you pray. Haridas Thakur hears, the great devotees hear when you pray, because they have realized that they are not the body, and they have perception beyond the physical senses of one particular body. We still have 3 minutes left. Should we take another question, Ian, or should we now round it up? What is your suggestion, please?
There's one really interesting question that I'd like for you, Maharaj, to answer for us, if that would be okay.
Okay.
And that could be our last question, and we can close over there. So this devotee asks, he doesn't mention put his name on there, but he asks, is it okay for us to ask for other exalted individuals to pray for us? Would it be the correct etiquette to ask my spiritual master to please pray for me?
Thank you very much. And the answer is yes. But be really sincere. Always keep the foundation in mind. It should be something which is a heartfelt, urgent concern. And then you can ask like this. I would like to surprise you. I have a godbrother. His name is Shivananda Prabhu. And when Srila Prabhupada visited us in, I think it was 69 or even 68 in Hamburg. I was not yet following Krishna consciousness, but I heard it from him and I read it later. We could not accommodate Srila Prabhupada in our small little temple in Hamburg, and we therefore rented an apartment for him, and he shared the apartment with a servant. He had his room where he had his deities and worshipped the deities and stayed for the night, and then he had a servant with him, Shivananda, in another room of the apartment, and Prabhupada would then visit the devotees in the temple and have programs in the temple. So once, it was on an Ekadasi day, Srila Prabhupada turned to Shivananda in a very devotional mood and said, "Please pray for me." Now imagine Srila Prabhupada asking you to pray for him. You would feel, "Oh no, 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 I think..." So in the same way, Shivananda said, "I don't think it will work, Srila Prabhupada." And Prabhupada then said, "No, you're a devotee and Krishna listens to devotees." So obviously, in this example, the surprising example, this somewhat shocking example maybe, an exalted soul, very exalted soul, most exalted soul, asked a not so exalted soul to pray for him. Now imagine if the not so exalted soul, like all of us are, we would ask an exalted soul to intercede for us, to pray on our behalf to Krishna, then for sure Krishna will open his ears and his heart and then give us and then listen very much to this very surrendered soul, because he always listens to the soul of some he always listens to the prayers of someone who practices Sharanagati. My dear devotees, dear listeners, dear skeptics, or here is a message from the organizer. I think I must read to you. Yusudnarananda said that viruses are living organisms, if you wanted to know. It replicates and lives on surfaces up to 72 hours and then dies. So now we have it. Viruses are living organisms. They are in a very shrunken consciousness, but still that maliciousness is with them. Thank you, Sundarananda, and thank you for inviting me and for being Sundarananda. And yes, I think I have earlier answered your questions. Good. We are now over time, and I should really get off this line to not blockade other exalted speakers who may come after this program. So I want to end by saying I thank you very, very much. I appreciated this program very much. See, when we talk about bhakti, three types of audiences are blessed. The audience is blessed, the speakers is blessed, and others who may hear from the distance are also blessed. And I feel very much grateful to have been given this opportunity to talk on the art of prayer. We could only touch it. I went sometimes a little fast through it. If you want to just hear a recommendation from me, is start your prayers by chanting the prayers of exalted souls. I suggested to you four prayers, which you can find in the sixth canto, chapter 11, verses 24 to 27. Yes, but there are other prayers as well. You can. I also recommend to you highly, highly, highly a prayer book which I use every day. It's the Sharanagati prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You can, I think, easily access them and get them. Never forget how we started. Prayers is the key to Krishna's heart. It is, but your prayer should really come from that deeper place. Let the real you pray. No? Make sure that it's the real I who prays. I thank you very, very much. Have a good day. And don't forget the main prayer. Oh, how could I forget? Our main prayer, which will purify the heart more than anything, than any other prayer. Our prayer in which the Lord has gathered all his various Shaktis is his own holy name, which are so beautifully arranged in the Maha Mantra. You might like to learn how to chant the Maha Mantra with full absorption, and then a great, great benefit is awaiting for you, to you. Good. With this, I will say goodbye to all of you. Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Prabhupada, and give the word to Ian or to anyone you have designated to conclude this session. Hare Krishna.